If you read the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in all four Gospels, you will find that in the first hours and days after Christ walked out of his grave, his disciples did not immediately rejoice. Instead, they experienced confusion, uncertainty, amazement, and incredulity. Indeed, at first, they could not even recognize the risen Lord, despite having known him intimately for years. Each of the surviving 11 apostles, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the sister of Christ's mother, Salome, the mother of James and John, and the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, all of them were in some way stupefied by the Lord Jesus. More than that, the Apostle Thomas found it so difficult to believe that Christ was raised from the dead that despite the powerful testimony of the other apostles who had seen the risen Lord, doubting Thomas demanded as a condition for his faith physical evidence which he could inspect with his own hands. And given that on several occasions the Lord Jesus had clearly explained to all of these people that he would be killed and would then rise from the dead, we must wonder why they all found it so difficult to accept what they were seeing. But really, who can blame them? Never before or since that blessed day has anything like the resurrection occurred on this earth. And anyone who has ever stood over the grave of someone they love understands the hideous strength and apparent permanence of death. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a singular event in human history, indeed in cosmic history, and it is the pivot on which turns all of time and the destiny of every human person. After the risen Christ first appeared to his disciples, it would take another 50 days for them to accept and understand and be changed by his resurrection. And even then, they were not yet ready to bear witness to others that Jesus Christ is Lord. That would require the Pentecostal fire of the Holy Spirit, the final gift of the risen Lord to his new church. But once that gift of fire had been received, that all of the disciples would be sent as witnesses to the truth and the power and the glory of the new life of grace revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, news of the resurrection was staggering 2 millennia ago, and it is staggering news even now. And always and everywhere, even when it is greeted with confusion, uncertainty, or incredulity, the resurrection is good news. The eternal Word of God, who became flesh in the womb of a virgin, suffered and died to redeem us from the grave, and then rose victorious over sin and death to reveal to all nations the truth of the Father's eternal plan of salvation. And what does that plan reveal? That we were not made for death. We were not made for the grave. We were made for eternal life and for perfect happiness in the unbounded glory of divine love in the very heart of the Most Holy Trinity. And what man lost in our rebellion against the Creator has now been restored by the obedience unto death, even death on a cross, of the risen one whose name is above every other name, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is what Christianity is, not merely a set of rituals and rules as the world supposes, but friendship with the risen Lord Jesus. Like the apostles and all the others who beheld the risen Lord, we have been made witnesses to the resurrection by our baptism and have been sent to everyone we meet to introduce them to the Lord Jesus and invite them to embrace his friendship. It is our mission to help all others become the friends of Christ by teaching them everything he commanded us and living his law of love, the law revealed in the sacraments of divine worship, the service of those in need, the study of the Holy Bible, and the way of prayer given to us by the Messiah. Now, anyone who has ever attempted to live this way knows how hard it is and how often we fail. But even in our sins, we find only mercy. Every time we go to confession, the grace of our baptism is renewed. And every time we go to Mass and worthily receive the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are nourished under everlasting life and strengthened to fulfill the Great Commission. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. And that is why the renewal of our baptismal promises is at the center of Mass on this Easter Sunday of the resurrection of the Lord. At our baptism, Jesus Christ called each of us by name to follow him in the way of the cross. At our baptism, we died with Christ so that on the last day we could rise with him. At our baptism, we were born again by water in the Holy Spirit so that we could be nourished every Sunday by the Most Holy Eucharist and live the life of the new creation every day by grace through faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through his gospel. Christos Anesti. Alithos Anesti. Christ is risen. Truly he is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia.